Meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries will come to order. Good morning, dear.
Good morning.
The time is 11:10 a.m. on March 10th. Members present are Representative Tarr, Representative Vance, Representative Newman, and myself, Chair Stutes. I would ask that you all please silence your phone and not approach a committee table if you need to get any unmessaged to any one of us here. My committee aide, Matt Greening, would be happy to help you. I'd like to thank Jordan Mayer, Committee Secretary, and Brett Mello from the Juneau LIO for teleconferencing and technical support. We have a quorum, and today our only order of business is House Bill 247, Sport Fishing Enhancement Surcharge, by House rules at the request of the governor. This should be a short meeting. We'll hold any outstanding discussion on House Bill 247, take public testimony, and set the bill aside until hopefully just Thursday. Available for questions, we have Tom Taube, Deputy Director of the Division of Sport Fish, Brian Frenette, Assistant Director of the Division of Sport Fish. Before we start, do we have any comments from the committee? Seeing none, I will open public testimony. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? If you'd come forward and put your name on the record. And your affiliation, and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Ron Somerville. I live here in Juneau, 8126 Keegan Street. I'm here representing the Territorial Sportsmen today in support of this piece of legislation. I have something to illustrate probably clearly as anything else. I don't know how many copies you require, but I have at least to show you what I'm testifying about. It has to do with king salmon. Thank you. the Territorial Sportsmen has been strong support of the enhancement programs, carefully controlled enhancement. along with the commercial fleet, contribute as much as we can to the enhancement program. And this program has been really successful here in Southeastern. Without this, our personal use of king salmon would be significantly diminished. And I don't intend to go much further except to say our 1,600 members here in Juneau are supportive of this piece of legislation.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee?
Madam Chair, I might add one point. If you look at this graph, including they're predicting that the escapement in the Taku River this coming year is going to be way below the 20,000 minimum. This is from Fish and Game data, by the way. So the six of the last 8 years, we've been below the minimum escapement of 20,000. Thus, our use of the resource has been completely shut down. And if you look at the last 12 or 14 years, any harvest that has occurred out of the escapement. There hasn't been any available above the escapement goal in those years. So it illustrates the dire situation. If you look at some of the other streams here in Southeastern, other parts of the state, Western Alaska, king salmon are struggling as well. So some of these enhancement programs have been beneficial. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony.
Actually, Madam Chair.
Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Oh, pardon me, sir. I do have a question. The way this bill is, thank you, I couldn't think of it. Mr. Somerville, the way this bill now is currently structured with this reduction, there's been some discussion of, you know, maybe not as much of a reduction, or just sort of thinking about whether it would be appropriate to consider leaving the surcharge in place entirely, but use it for other purposes, you know, just kind of illustrated by the graph you gave us. Do you think there's general support for that, or do you think that it would, you know, need to be reduced to carry forward?
Representative Todd, to the chair, we haven't obviously polled our membership on that issue, but I think they would support this reduction. One, we just got a license increase for residents and non-residents. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be a show of good faith if the $5 reduction was kept in place. I mean, that's basically my recommendation, but I'm sure our membership would be supportive of that.
Okay.
Thank you. Representative Newman.
Thank you. Welcome, Ron. I've had many good discussions with you over the years. Do you feel that this legislation then would target any excess money that was going out for the fishery hatcheries? Those bonds will be paid off. It's your understanding that this bill would just take that money and it would still just go directly to sport fisheries, is in the subaccount, and then the rest of the money would be used just for fisheries management and enhancement?
Yeah, Representative Newman through the chair. Yeah, I assume that hatcheries don't run free of charge. And so any maintenance on some of these, I assume some of this money would be used for that purposes as well. But we support, you know, the oversight of the legislature and how that money is spent, number one. And so I don't see that it would be abused.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go online to Forrest Braden from Ketchikan, the Southeast Alaska Guides Association. If you would state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Forrest Braden, speaking on behalf of Southeast Alaska Guides Organization here in Southeast. And we've submitted written testimony that you can look at that should be in the package, but I'll highlight some of the main points. We're in support of this bill. The sport fleet in Southeast, you know, really relies heavily on king salmon. There's an outside and inside fleet, and hatchery enhancement production benefits both sectors or both areas. Those fish have to come through the, you know, through the outside to get to the inside. But one thing that's been interesting as I've researched for this is about one out of every two king salmon that are harvested by the sport fishery on the inside fisheries, which would include like Juneau, Ketchikan areas, Petersburg, Wrangell, one out of two of each of those fish over like, it was like the last, well, it's 2005 to 2016 was the information I was looking at and are of hatchery production, so 50%. And we all, I mean, I think all of us know the importance both to the resident and non-resident sport fishermen for these fish. So we really would support keeping these monies coming. And my understanding is that it's 80% of the funds that come in are through non-residents. So I, as we indicated, it's a pretty good way to bring in money to support these fisheries. And it doesn't just benefit sport fish. It's common property fishery. So, you know, all these fish are shared by all the fisheries coming in and out. And sport feels like we should, you know, pay our way, try to contribute. And as far as, like, what would happen with the enhancement money, this didn't come in our written comments, but I would comment and say that we would be in support of at least the non-resident portion. I know that there's a ratio that you may have to work with, but at least the non-resident portion, keep it in place, not reduce it. And we'd be happy to see additional funds coming towards Southeast for further enhancement and maintenance. And I think that wraps up what I got to say, so thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions from this committee? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just was noticing that in your letter, Mr. Braden, it says the same thing, that we would support an amended bill that keeps the original surcharge amount for non-residents with the additional revenue aimed at increasing production and or marking of hatchery Chinook. And so down here, when we look at these non-resident fees that start on page 2, line 29, all of those, you think, you know, if those stayed the same, given that some of those were recently increased in the same way that the resident fees were increased, that wouldn't be a problem. And you represent the guides. I think they would be the people who might speak out the most about it.
Yeah, through the chair, Ms. Tarr, I think that there'd be, well, I can't speak for every industry member, but certainly CIGO would support keeping those funds in place. You know, it's a cost that consumers or customers, visitors are used to, and I really do think it benefits the fishery. So, we definitely be in support of that. We're not opposed to a reduction in resident fees, but definitely supporting keeping the non-resident fees where they're at for increased revenue.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Tarr. Next, we will go to David Landis in Ketchikan. Mr. Hello. Landis?
Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Certainly. My name is David Landis. I'm the general manager of Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, or SARA, based in Ketchikan, but working to enhance fish throughout Southern Southeast Alaska. I wanted to note, Chairman and members of the committee, that SARA supports this bill. The lion's share of the projected revenue for this bill would go to the William Jack Hernandez Hatchery in Anchorage and the Ruth Burnett Sport Fish Hatchery in Fairbanks. However, I'd like to note that the state actually owns three sport fish hatcheries, not just the two that I mentioned. The other one is the Crystal Lake Hatchery in Petersburg, which is a sport fish hatchery that the state owns and SARA operates for the state, and a portion of the operational funding for Crystal Lake flows through this sport fish license surcharge funding. The remainder of it is Dingell-Johnson funding that's commingled and forms the contract that we have with the state of Alaska to operate Crystal Lake and release king and coho salmon in specified locations. But I'd like to note for the committee that this funding is critical to the operation of Crystal Lake Hatchery, that it's a user pays system, and I think that is to the benefit of all of us who work within fisheries and see those who use the fish pay for them in some part. And I'd also like to note, as others have now, that you may want to consider keeping the fee the same as it was before in the previous bond measure for the license surcharge to whatever degree that perhaps would lessen the risk of a challenge on that, the ratio of non-resident to resident that might be beneficial. Again, SARA supports the passage of this bill, and I would note also at the recent United Fishermen of Alaska meeting, UFA supports the bill as well, and that another commercial user group, the Alaska Trollers Association, has a letter in your packet that supports this bill. So thank you again for the time and your attention, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony, and I might note, because it's been mentioned a couple times, that we cannot charge non-residents a fee that we don't charge residents. We can increase their license fee, but we can't charge them a particular fee that we don't charge the residents. So are there any questions from this committee? Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify? Seeing no one, I will close public testimony. And with that, I just have a couple comments. On page 1, line 11 of the bill, it states that funding shall be allocated to, quote, sport fishing facilities. The term sport fishing facilities is rather broad. According to the department, sport fish facility can include things like trail renovations and access ramps. Although I certainly support keeping our trails well maintained, that does not directly support the health of the resource, simply access to it. Personally, I'd like to see this tightened up to be specific to stock enhancement and maintenance at our state's sport fish hatcheries, so that funding will always benefit the resource and simply not human access to it. I'd be curious to hear the committee's and department's comments on that. Also, a question for Deputy Director Taube. This bill proposes to reduce the $9 surcharge to $4. While I'm in full support of continuing the $4 surcharge in support of the state's sport fish hatcheries, I wonder if the $5 this bill proposes to kick back could be better used for fisheries management and research within the department, particularly in light of the recent budget reductions and the challenges to the resource, whether it be the budget reduced, ocean acidification, ocean and river warming, I could go on and on, invasive species, etc. leaving that fee in place might help to manage some of those situations. What would be the department's thought on leaving the $5 in place and making it available for fisheries management and research? That would simply seem prudent to me. And if the department would like to respond to that, I will give them an opportunity. Otherwise, I will take comments from the committee. And did the department wish to respond to that?
Yes, Madam Chair. This is Tom Talby, Deputy Director, Division of Sportfish.
Great.
The department would be receptive. We'd want to make sure that the benefits would be to sport anglers and sport fisheries related to the additional projects that would be funded by the full surcharge. But some of those things that you mentioned, invasive species, the Division of Sportfish has taken lead on many of the pike reduction in the Mat-Su area and the Kenai Peninsula, and so that would go towards that. And there's definitely needs regarding coho and king salmon assessment and research, both on the Kenai and Mat-Su area, as well as other resident species research that could occur in southeast in the interior. So I think the department would be receptive to seeing a full amount, but we would defer to the legislature to make that happen at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, Representative Christ Tompkins. Comments from this board. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I was curious into the trails only because I know that I use lakes where fish and game drops sport fishing by airplane. There's quite a few lakes like that are not accessible by road that have trail access. A lot of those start at different state parks like Red Shirt Lake out of Nancy Lake State Park. And so they do those trail enhancements, and if you don't have access to those trails, and in fact anything that gets, I believe, Dingle Johnson funds and that, or any fisheries from these have to have public access to that lake. They cannot put stocked fish from these hatcheries in a lake that doesn't have public access. So assuring that they have adequate access to those lakes so you're not going across private property and things like that, so that they're identified, because that's what happens otherwise. And so people deserve a right to have that, and they need to have those trails located so that they can go catch the fish that they're stocking. So just food for thought on that. Also, I got to looking at, they're changing the hunting license fees. And this, I look under the title, and it talks about sport fishing enhancement, I guess under the Fish and Game Fund. But I'm just wondering where they have the legal authority to change hunting licenses and trapping license fees, because this is about the sport fisheries, and in the $9 surcharge that sport fishermen under the North American model of conservation funding decided to tax themselves another $9 to go towards two sport fisheries, a salmon, a salt or a freshwater, what they call a flat water, and a saltwater hatcheries, so that the sportsmen can do that. And so now we're changing hunting licenses too. I'm not quite sure if that could even fit into the title. So there might be a legal thing there, but I'm not how far they can go under the authority of the Fish and Game Fund, I'm not sure. Other than that, Madam Chair, it was talked about in hatcheries here. I know that there's pink hatcheries and stuff like the one down here. Why would a sport fishing go to enhance something like that where you're not using them? There were 98% of the fish are caught back again by the commercial fishermen right down here at what they could call a terminal fishery. If the terminal fishery is there where it's specifically for commercial fishermen, and they get 98%. It's a wonderful program, by the way, if it's working like it should. But just thoughts that you asked for. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. It appears that the hunting and trapping license was included in the increase in the original legislation on that. Further comments? Representative Vance?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to Rep. Newman for bringing that up, highlighting that, because on number page 3 on number line 3, number 9, the non-resident military is small game and sport fishing license as well. And I think that kind of goes back to ties back to your question from the department of if we were to keep the fees in place, the original amount that they're requesting could go toward sport fish hatcheries, maintenance and operations, but that additional, if it was kept, could go to the department for management and research. And I would like an answer on the legality of this crossover of this combined license as well, and the feedback of the intent of the committee to have specifically where the additional money would go. You mentioned fish management and research, which we all support, but what the needs of the department are great, and I was wondering, are there crossover management that doesn't just affect sport fishing that is a crossover that these funds could support? There's good in focusing funds to specific things like what we want to do with sport fish hatcheries, but also giving the department the ability to utilize the funds where there's a need that may have gotten overlooked.
Thank you, Representative Vance. And I would guess that it says an act relating to the Fish and Game Fund. So I would imagine that's where the hunting license portion comes in. Did you have something, Representative Tarr?
I just appreciate the opportunity to comment. I like those ideas. I think that our fee structure right now is really reasonable. And as we have these continuing conversations about how to maintain these essential state services, some of the newer ideas would take some time to evolve into, and this is something that's already sort of operational, if you will. So I like the ability for it to, it's already stood up, it's operational, and I think it's filling a really important need. I think, this is one of the things that all Alaskans care a lot about. And so I like the conversation about potentially just a little more specificity about, which piece of the surcharge, if we leave it in place in its entirety, would go towards. I think the language that you were talking about was just a little more specific: stock enhancement for maintenance and stock enhancement and maintenance of the sport fisheries or sport fishery hatcheries, it sounded like. And then maybe we could be a little more clear in how the remaining funds could be used, just to try to be as strategic as possible and think about where the gaps are right now, particularly, in information and research that we need to do better management. So I really am supportive of the idea of just leaving it in place and appreciate, what input others can add to the conversation of just how those funds might be used and how specific we would want to be.
Thank you. And according to Ms. Hankey, on the change in the fees on 2, 3, and 4, it's referring to the sport fishing license portion. So any other comments? I would remind the members here that amendments are due by tomorrow at 4 p.m., and my office is, having had a conversation with the committee members, considering rolling your amendments into a CS. So it would be just, but please have any amendments that you'd like to have to my office by 4 o'clock tomorrow. And at the next hearing of House Fisheries on Thursday, we will hear Marilyn Charles, who's been nominated to the Fisherman's Fund Advisory and Appeals Council, and John Wood for the Board of Fisheries. And the committee will also hear House Bill 247 again. And at that point, is there anything else come before this committee? Seeing nothing, we will adjourn at 11:34.